One of the things I want to do right off the bat, we lost a very dear friend and a person that is a giant. And many of you might not have known him, but Wes Shum passed away this week. And I want to bring Nick Tusa on with us. Nick, are you there? K5EF? There he is.
Yes, sir. I'm here. How you doing?
We're doing good, Nick. And you have a lot of life with Wes. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your when you met him and so on. We got about 8 or 10 minutes here, and we want to pay tribute to Wes, and you're the guy to do that.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I got involved with Central Electronics when I was in high school because our high school club station had a Central Electronics 10A. This is in 1967, and I didn't know what it was, and it certainly was different than any other radio I'd seen. I'd only had been introduced to a few, the Swan 350s, and I had seen an S-line. Of course, a high school kid couldn't afford one of those. But we had our station. It was a Jesuit high school station, and one of the priests was a ham, and he had this 10A, and he had built a homebrew amplifier for it. But it didn't have coils for 15 meters, so I figured out that Zenith Radio actually had acquired Central, and they weren't building transmitters anymore. So I just sent them a letter just to see if I could get information about how to build the 15-meter coils. And lo and behold, I got a letter back from Carl Hassel. And I didn't know who Carl Hassel was, but it turned out that Carl Hassel was the co-founder of Zenith. And he had sent a... the information about the coil form, coils, how to build 10A coils. And he also gave me the phone number and address of this fellow by the name of Wes Shum, who was the president of the company, and it had designed all of these sets. So that kind of started a pen pal relationship with Wes. And I would send him letters, problems that we had with the transmitter, not understanding how to align it or fix it. I blew up the 6AG7 final in it by plugging in a GE tube and didn't realize that the set was designed around RCA and Sylvania tubes. And apparently the GEs were very hot and they would go into a parasitic oscillation mode. And so he got a big charge out of that when I finally did talk to him on the telephone. And, of course, he talked me through fixing it. And so I'm just a kid, and I'm 16 years old. And I started a relationship with him back then. And it continued on through college. And eventually I got an opportunity to go to Chicago in 1983. And that's when I first met him. And, you know, it's funny how, you know, you develop a relationship by telephone and letters, and you kind of get in your mind's eye a feeling of what the person is. And he was exactly like that when I met him.
He was a wonderful person, Nick, and I hear so many stories about him actually coming to people's houses to fix their transmitters, and that's the marvelous side of him that I remember. We got a couple of pictures. Let's run those up, Brian, and tell us a little bit about what's here. Go ahead and run a couple of these. So, Nick, what are we watching there?
Well, you're looking at the one and only surviving 100R prototype. There were supposed to be actually five of these made, but this was the first one. And it got finished in the early part of 1960. And it was being held up because of costing problems, because it was a very expensive set to build. The documentation that I've got on the engineering design that went behind this set said that in 1960, that unit costed out at about $900 to sell. And that was very expensive at the time, much, much higher even than a Collins receiver. Now, here's a picture of Wes actually in the central production line It's a staged photo, but he's got his diddle stick and getting ready to align a 100V transmitter. Now, this is in 1950, I believe it's 8 or 9. It was the geophysical year, and Zenith had provided equipment that was set up at the Chicago Planetarium for a communications event, and Wes was the one who actually made the first QSO from that station. Now, this is Wes. This was at the first boat anchor field day that we had done in 2013, and that's the 100R receiver. Now, Wes had actually seen this and used it for a number of years. Joel Thurtell is the fellow that owns the 100R, and he let Wes experiment with it to kind of get reacquainted, because when Central was deactivated by Zenith, suddenly everything just went into turmoil, and he had lost track of where the set was. He thought it was a fellow by the name of Ed Passo had it. It turned out that the set was only about maybe a 30-minute drive from his house all those years. We eventually found it. And that's the same event. Yeah, it's the same one. And that was Wes and, of course, his wife, Marge. Marge, by the way, is also a ham. K9 EMP, eat more possum.
Well, they are a delightful couple. I had so much fun.
Great.
I was so proud to be able to meet them. And I appreciate all you do to keep the whole Central Electronic thing going. And we look forward to the next field day or event with you. And we'll have you on a lot to talk about it. But you might give a little synopsis of what's in the works now since things turned around a bit. We'll still meet on his farm as you've done in the past few years. But you have some other ideas that we might want to toss around, Nick?
Oh, yeah, if you don't mind. At the last field day, which, by the way, I think we have some pictures of it posted on the CE website. It's probably the only tent that has a chandelier in it. But so we were operating field day in high cotton, so to speak, and we got the idea that in a group of us, K5LYN, Lynn, who calls the vintage single sideband net on Wednesday night, and also he's a co-net person on Sunday, got the idea that maybe what we ought to do is open this up a lot more and make it more of an educational thing, a swap meet, and have it on a day that doesn't compete with field day, because a lot of folks do have commitments on field day. And we thought this would be kind of fun to also get a number of other equipment manufacturers represented at this event. And this year already we've gotten some Cosmophone radios lined up to be at the meet, which is going to be on July 23rd, that weekend in 2016. So and also there's some talk, and we don't want to talk too much about it, but some very unusual homebrew rigs may be showcased at this event, too. It ought to be a lot of fun. Anybody that's interested in vintage equipment, vintage single sideband, just learning about how phasing exciters work and how to maintain and restore them, this would be a great opportunity, because you'll certainly meet and hear from a number of people that are experts in it. And we want to get more people involved in saving these old radios.
We'll be waving the flag about that for sure, because I will have it on my calendar, and we'll want to make that happen. And Wes was the one guy that brought single sideband to amateur radio, and he was my college professor, because when I told him that, he was very confused. He didn't know what I meant for a while, but I built several of the kits. And I was 17, 18 years old, and that's how I learned a lot about electronics. And I want all of the new hams to take a note here. That's what you need to be doing, is get involved in some of these vintage things that you can work on. And it was that Central Electronics gear that really taught me a lot, especially about phasing, and phasing is so important. Nick, thank you for being here tonight. We pay so much dedication to Wes Shum, his family, our condolences to his wife, Marge, Diane, John, all of them there. And what can I say? There aren't enough words for me personally to tell you. I appreciate all you do to keep his memory going now. And we'll be in touch with you soon and have you back, okay?
Very good. Thank you. There's so few. In fact, I believe he probably was the last of those pioneers from the late 40s, early 50s that made such tremendous contributions to not just amateur radio, but the electronics industry as a whole. And we've lost a significant tie back to that era. So thank you very much for having me. And I certainly hope to see you in July at Storybrooke Farms. And it will be a celebration of a pretty wonderful man's life. So thanks.
Well, thanks for being here. And we'll keep him in our memory and keep bringing it up once in a while to tell people and remind them. Thanks for being here.